Well, I suddenly have the urge to join the choir. What a blessing to hear our children sing like that, isn't it? I want to thank all of our talented musicians and our kids for singing like that, and of course the choir directors, and even Bill for asking the choir to dress like a bag of tropical Skittles. That was all good and makes today so special, and I'm glad that you're all here. Well, I want to invite you to grab your Bibles, and let's turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. We're going to be in verse 18 this morning. Luke 18, verse 18. Let me read it for us. God's word says, "A ruler questioned him," who's Jesus, "A ruler questioned him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" So glad to see our church full of children this morning, and really have a message for you, our kids. And I want you to think about this with me before we think about the ruler or who he's talking to. I want us to think about his question, because it's a really important question. This ruler wants eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? What's he asking for? 7 years ago that I had a young middle school student come to me and ask me a question, and she said, "What do I do, Pastor Jay, if I'm not that excited about heaven? I'm not really excited about eternal life. It sounds kind of boring. And her question was an honest question and a real question. And I think just like the young ruler's question here, that young person, probably like most of our young people here this morning, she wasn't excited about heaven because she didn't really know what eternal life was all about. Think of her question all the time. Want us to be excited about eternal life. Eternal life, it's the most important topic. Probably the most well-known Bible verse, John 3:16. Did you know it's not a promise of happiness or fame or health? Jesus isn't promising riches. Rather, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. Whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have," what does Jesus say? You can say it. I know you're not supposed to talk in big church, but it's okay. He said eternal life. The gospel is a promise for eternal life. Oh, this eternal life must be so important. What do we think about when we hear this ruler's question? What can I do? What should I do to have eternal life? I don't know about you, but when I was younger, I used to think about eternal life as being really, really long. I thought about it in terms of length, like an amount, like a big number, not like 100, but like a trillion or even a bigger number. I used to think of eternal life as really, really big and long, and that it was life where we would never die. But it's so much more than that. Yes, eternal life is life that goes on and on and on and on, but there's more to it. There's an element about eternal life that God wants us to understand. It's not just really long, but it's also really, really good. Eternal life, it's life that never ends, but it's also something that we can barely understand just how good it's going to be. Ruler's question is a really good question. But what makes this eternal life so good? Well, the best part about this eternal life that this ruler's asking about is that, yes, it's never-ending life, but it's good because we get to live that life with God. God will be there. That's what makes it so good. It's not just more of the life that we experience now. That would be awful. I wouldn't blame anyone for not wanting that. How boring, how sad, how undesirable to think of eternal life as just more of this life now, more of this life never ending. Eternal life where sin still exists, where God is absent. I wouldn't be excited about eternal life if that's what it was either. I think perhaps that's how that middle schooler was thinking about it, but the eternal life that Jesus offers and the eternal life that this ruler is asking about, it's unending life in the presence of our Creator, in the presence of God. John 3:16 is a promise for eternal life with God. Years ago, Pastor John said this about eternal life, and I wrote it down because it was so helpful. Listen to it. Imagine the happiest moment, the most wonderful moment, the most exciting moment you've had, the most thrilling, fulfilling, satisfying, glorious, most overwhelming, happy moment you've ever had. Can you think of it? Now imagine that moment never ending. It's not a sequence of days or experiences. It's a moment of sheer bliss that never stops. No sense of time passing by, no present or future, just a moment of total exhilarating perfection. I like that. It's hard for me to think about, but I like that. That's helpful. You could think of so many different moments. Maybe Christmas morning, that's up there. Maybe a really great birthday party. Maybe it was a game where you played awesome and I couldn't do anything wrong. Maybe it was a day you got a puppy or a pony, because why not? An amazing moment like that. The thing is, it's that moment, but it's so much better. It's not about time, but an endless moment of complete joy and love and happiness, and again, because God is there. I also want to say eternal life is not just big church, never ending. That wouldn't be very exciting either, would it? Eternal life is not like that. It's life with God that never ends, and it's perfect, and it's awesome, and we will get to worship God a lot. But we'll also get to enjoy so much of what God has intended for us, his creation, the wonder of it, and the amazement of it. And the best part, again, children, is that God will be there, and sin will not be there. Because God's there, sin will not be there. Eternal life is something that all of us should want. And the thing about eternal life is that all of us do want it. I can say that because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, that God did something really special, something unique for all of us when he made us. Inside your heart and my heart, it says God placed eternity. God put eternity in our hearts. What does that mean? Well, it means that you're aware that there's something after this life. It means that you're aware of eternal life to some extent. All of us want it and we long for it. We are looking for it. We're wondering about it. God wanted us to be curious about what was next. In fact, if you're here this morning, you have something in common with this rich young ruler. Eternity is coming. It's certain. It's unavoidable. We will live forever and ever somewhere. God wants you to know that. He wants us to understand that. He teaches us that in his word. The Bible, it tells us there are two options for this eternal life or this eternity. We'll either have eternal life with God or we'll all be somewhere else forever without him. We want eternal life with God. We want to be where God's at, because eternal life without God, that's no life at all. It's not good. God will not be there. It will not be fun. It will not be happy. It's not a place that anyone will want to be. That's why we have to know the answer to this question. What do we have to do to have eternal life? God tells us that our sin already earns us eternity without him. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. We've already earned eternal life without God. We need to know now what gets us eternal life with God. We want to be with him. We have to know how to do that. We want to be with God. We have to have that. So this question about eternal life, it's a really good question. I remember in fifth grade, sitting at my desk, looking at this test that teacher just laid before us. And I'll admit, I wasn't particularly interested in the subject, so this test may as well have been in a different language. I knew I was going to do poorly. And one of my classmates raised his hand, and he asked our teacher, is there any way we could work on this test together as a whole class? To my surprise, the teacher said, sure, go for it. And I remember thinking, that is the best question I've ever heard. But I was wrong. This is the best question. Luke 18:18, a ruler questioned Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Children, this is the best question. This is the question that you should be asking. Now let's look at our text. Who is this ruler? Well, his story, it's not only found here, but the other gospel writers, Matthew and Mark, also tell his story, Matthew 19 and Mark 10. And all three of these accounts are very similar, but each one has a few different notes that are helpful and help us learn a lot about this ruler. Matthew calls him a young man. And here in Luke, he's called a ruler. That word ruler, it means that this guy was important. He was a ruler in a local synagogue, so he's kind of influential, kind of a community leader, a church leader. You could think of him that way. Even more influential than Ranger Joe. He's really important, and he's a well-known guy. Everybody knows this man and love him. And all three accounts tell us that this young ruler was also very rich. Tells us that he had a lot of possessions. And that's why we call his story the rich young ruler. He's a man who has all the desirable traits that the world says are desirable. He's young, he's powerful, he has money. He's probably one of those guys who's really fit, even though he never exercises. It's more of a comment for the parents, but the point is, he has it all. This rich young ruler has everything you could possibly want. Everybody looks to him and admires him. He's young and he's powerful and he's highly religious and he's respected everywhere he goes. Everyone says hi to him. He has everything. Everything you could ever want in life or ever possibly dream of. Rich young ruler had it all, or so it seems. Because apparently he doesn't have eternal life. He's the man who had almost everything. He doesn't have eternal life, and he knows it, which is why he's asking about it. He's aware of eternity. He can feel it in his heart. There's more to life. There's more to come. He doesn't want to exist forever in the wrong place. He heard Jesus teach about this eternal life, and he wants to be certain that he ends up there. He wants life. And he's aware that he doesn't have it. And so he asks. And you know what? He asks the best person possible. He asks Jesus, how do I get eternal life? How do I have it? What do I have to do? How can I know that I have eternal life? That's all wrapped up in his question. And here Jesus responds. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 19. And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I've kept from my youth. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, well, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus responds to this man's question with something we weren't quite ready for. Throughout Luke, he had been preaching on the gospel and preaching about belief in him and repentance. And here Jesus does something a little bit different. He asks, why do you call me good? No one's good but God alone, he says. And then he goes on and starts talking about the commandments. And then Jesus does something even more crazy and unexpected. He tells him to sell all that he owns. What is he doing? Did Jesus forget the gospel? This is a perfect moment for Jesus to, again, teach what he had been teaching so regularly and faithfully. Why doesn't Jesus say that? Why doesn't he say, believe in me and have faith in me and repent of your sin and be saved? But that's not what he said. Number one, Jesus doesn't answer his question. He answers his question with a question. Number two, Jesus talks about the commandments instead of telling this young ruler to be saved by grace. Number three, he tells him to sell his possessions, which isn't the gospel of grace at all that he came to preach. One of my good friends, who happens to be a pastor, and who happens to be my neighbor, and who happens to be named Brian Biedebach, was talking with him the other day, and we were talking about this text, and he pointed out to me how people often think about Jesus making these three big mistakes. But in reality, it's the rich young ruler who's mistaken. It's the rich young ruler who's making the mistakes. It's the rich young ruler who doesn't get it. I want to show you these mistakes this morning. What is he missing? The point is this. Jesus knows exactly how to answer his question. You want eternal life? Let me show you what you're missing. You have to understand first who Jesus is. That's his first mistake. He doesn't quite understand that Jesus is God. He calls Jesus a good teacher. And look at verse 19. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. What's Jesus want this rich young ruler to know? Well, he wants him to know that he is good and that he is God. He wants him to know that he's so close. He wants him to know that this is where we have to start. Everyone has to begin here. Jesus is God. He thinks Jesus is good at teaching. He thinks Jesus has the answer, but he doesn't understand that Jesus is the answer. That's his first mistake. If you want to have eternal life, you have to believe that Jesus is God. Mistake number two, he doesn't understand his sin. Jesus used the commandments. Exodus 20, the Old Testament. Is Jesus not thinking right? No, but Jesus uses those because he's trying to help this rich young ruler see his sinfulness. The commandments were supposed to do that. They were supposed to help God's people understand, wow, God is really holy, and God has a high standard, and we cannot meet his standard. We can't do what God wants us to do. Those commandments were meant to make you see your sinfulness. Especially with those last two. Don't bear false witness. That means don't lie. And honor your father and mother. Yikes. No one has perfectly honored their parents. Even that last one alone should have caused the rich young ruler to respond with, guilty. Oh, yes, Jesus, I have broken the commandments. I am sinful. I haven't been able to do what was required. Tell me, what do I do now? What's next? What should I do? But the craziest thing happens. Did you hear how he responded when we read it? That's not what he says. Look at verse 21. He replies with, commandments. No problem. Green checkmark emoji, done. Not an issue for me. I've kept all the commandments from my youth. Not only is it not a problem, but it hasn't been a problem for a long time. That's how the rich young ruler's thinking. And that's why this is his second mistake. You could write that down. He doesn't see his sin for what it is. He doesn't understand that he is sinful. He hasn't realized his sin is earning him an eternity without God. Like so many people believed during the rich young ruler's day, and who probably still do a lot today, this young ruler who was extremely rich, he thinks he can inherit eternal life by the good things that he's done. It's possible that he was actually expecting Jesus to say to him, oh, you want eternal life? You already have it. You've already earned it. He's unwilling to admit the reality that he's a sinner in need of forgiveness. He's unwilling to see the one thing that's so important when it comes to the gospel, when it comes to this eternal life that he's seeking. He's talking to the one person who can actually help, but Jesus cannot help someone who doesn't think they need help. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus answers a different question. Chapter 5, verse 30, it says, the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at Jesus' disciples, and they were saying to them, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus, because he's God, knew what they were saying and thinking. And it says, Jesus answered them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And then he says, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Rich young ruler wanted eternal life, and his second mistake was thinking he was righteous all on his own. Second mistake was thinking that he didn't need to be saved from his sin because he didn't think he was a sinner. Children, for eternal life, you have to know and believe that Jesus is God. And secondly, you also have to realize that you're a sinner desperately in need of forgiveness. The rich young ruler is given a third chance, another chance by Jesus. Verse 22, it says, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, well, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come, follow me. Again, Jesus isn't making a mistake here. He's trying to help this man see and understand that which he loves most. He's trying to help him understand what he truly values and treasures in his life. He's trying to help him see who he really serves, and it's his money. Jesus is simply pointing out what's captivated this man's heart, what he lives for, what he loves, what he treasures and cherishes. He's trying to help him understand you love your money and you love your stuff way more than you love Jesus. With that statement, Jesus is trying to help this rich young ruler see what's important to him, what matters most to him. It's his way of asking him, what's really the most important thing to you? And would you be willing to give all that up to get what you seek? Would you trade your riches for this eternal life that you're after? By the way, eternal life has nothing to do with selling all your stuff. That's good to know, but rather to be saved and to have eternal life, we're to be willing to submit to Christ. Jesus has to be number one in your life. That's the point. That's what he's trying to help this rich young ruler see. There also, from our reading earlier, there cannot be a tie for number one either. Jesus isn't interested in sharing that top spot with your favorite thing. He wants to be number one all alone. Can't serve God and money. Jesus wants this rich young ruler to see how he's making a third mistake. Jesus actually already taught this truth in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. He said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." It can't be about your life anymore. It's about what I have for you. Deny yourself, Jesus said. Take up your cross and follow me. Verse 24 of Luke 9, "For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." In case we don't quite understand that, Jesus says next, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his soul?" Jesus often taught about how amazing eternal life was. He often taught about his kingdom and what a good thing it was to be in it. But also he tried to help those who were listening to understand just how valuable it was, just how incredibly worth it was to be a part of his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus says this, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and he hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. It's worth it." And the very next verse, he says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls, and upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and he bought it." What's the point? We don't own anything that's worth more than the eternal life that Jesus is offering. We don't have anything of more value or anything that's more precious than this eternal life. Young people, there is nothing better than being in the kingdom of God. All the money in the world isn't worth giving up eternity. And that's this rich young ruler's third mistake. You could write this down. He wasn't willing to put God first. He wasn't willing to put God first. He was extremely rich. His money mattered more to him. Probably the things that his money came with, all the popularity and all the friendships and fame, that mattered more to him too. Back to our text, Luke 18, verse 23. It says, "When he heard these things," when the rich young ruler heard what Jesus had said, it says he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Eternal life is the most important thing you could have. You should be willing to exchange anything for it, everything for it, willing to submit your life to Christ because of what he's offering. See, Jesus isn't making any mistakes at all. In fact, he's trying to help this rich young ruler understand the gospel. It's quite personal. It's precisely what the gospel proclaims. If you have faith, if you believe in Christ and who he is, that he's God, and you recognize that Jesus came to save sinners, and you understand that you're one of those sinners who's desperately in need of forgiveness, and you can deny yourself and turn from that sin and submit your life to Christ and follow him and want to be with him more than anything. Those who do that will have eternal life. That's what John 3:16 is promising. That's what it's offering. Whoever believes in Jesus and believes in what he taught, whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now that's where this man's story ends in the Gospel of Luke. But just for a minute, I want to draw your attention to what Mark says about him in chapter 10. And verse 21 especially is important. Mark chapter 10, just a little bit to your left, verse 21, it says, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him." It's so important to the story, Mark's detail here. Jesus, looking at this man, he wasn't annoyed that he wasn't getting it. He wasn't bothered by him or bugged at him. He wasn't just hoping that he would go away. No, the text tells us that Jesus loved him. He told him the truth. He told him precisely what he needed to hear. And it's sad because even though he asked the right question to the perfect person, even though he was right at the perfect spot, this man, it says in verse 22, that he went away sorrowful. He wasn't just sad. He left. He left Jesus, and that's his fourth mistake. He didn't understand that Jesus was God. He was unwilling to acknowledge his sin. He wasn't okay with Jesus being number one in his life. And mistake number four is he leaves. He's sad because he has a lot of money. But he should be sad because he has a lot of sin. What he should do is confess his sin and ask Jesus to forgive him. He should ask for help to stop loving money more than Jesus. And also really important, he should try to be as close to Jesus as he possibly can. Oh, don't leave. But he turns away. He leaves. Rich young ruler was really close. The Bible never speaks about him again. He wanted eternal life. He was asking the right question. But he made four crucial mistakes. It's not enough just to be curious about eternal life. It's not enough just to want it. That doesn't cut it. That's what Jesus is trying to help him see and to help us understand too. It's not enough just to want eternal life. The gospel offers salvation for those who are willing to repent. Eternal life is only for those who will turn from their sin and follow Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." That's much harder to do than just wanting to go to heaven, to believe that Jesus is God and admit you're a sinner, to put him first, to turn from your sin and follow him with your whole life. It's much easier to just want it. But that's not the gospel. It's why so many people walked away from Jesus' teaching. It's why so many people still do today. This man would rather have his stuff. He'd rather have his sin. He'd rather live his life his way than actually have eternal life. The saddest part about the rich young ruler's story is that he doesn't see how valuable and how amazing and how incredible eternal life with God actually is. I think he had a lot in common with my young friend who didn't quite understand how amazing eternal life was either. We can't make the same mistake. You don't want to make the same mistakes as this rich young ruler did. He passed up eternal life with God for stuff, if you think about it, that's been gone and dust for thousands of years. He passed up eternal life for something that doesn't even exist anymore. In the gospel, Jesus didn't come to give us contentment. He doesn't come to make us comfortable, make us happy or rich or popular. The gospel is ultimately about eternal life. Wanting eternal life, it's the best question. And Jesus here helps the rich young ruler and you to realize what the answer is. Believe in Jesus, that he's God. Realize you're a sinner who needs saving. Submit to Jesus as Lord of your life and turn from your sin. And for those who do, Jesus promises you. He promises you eternal life. Unending, real life, a moment of indescribable joy that never, ever stops. A moment of total delight, full of exhilarating joy and love and happiness and all of that. Don't forget the best part. It's with God, because God's there and it's a place where sin will not be. Eternal life is life with God that never ends, and it's perfect and it's awesome and it can be yours. No better question to ask, no more important question to ask this morning than what do I have to do to have eternal life? And thanks to Jesus, we know the answer. Don't be like this man who had almost everything, who walked away from the one thing that mattered most. Father, thank you for this morning and for this incredible true story about Jesus and this rich young ruler. Thank you that we get to see your love, Jesus, for everyone to be saved, including this man. Even though it's sad that he walks away, we're still so glad and grateful that, Jesus, you want us to know that you are God, and you want us to know that you came to save us from our sin, which clearly we're sinful. We love that you want us to know that we have to put you first, that we should turn from our sin and follow you the rest of our life. Father, thank you for this special weekend in the life of our church where we can embrace the responsibility that we have to shepherd our children. Lord, may we love them like you do. May we teach our kids about you. And Lord, would you help us to do that faithfully in the way that honors you most? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.